Attorney Ann Williams is meeting her 33-year-old client for the first time at a legal clinic in Rochester. She's asking him questions about what it's like to have one name and gender legally and another name and gender in real life.
So has it ever happened at medical appointments? I know they're really good about here about using preferred names.
They've gotten better.
The client takes out a tin black box out of his bag. He pulls out a passport, birth certificate, social security card, and license. They all say female, but the client, he's a trans man.
They'd use female pronouns instead of male, even when I started coming up with more facial hair.
The client is here to change his legal name and gender. Now, New York State usually requires that name changes get published in a local paper, but for safety reasons, the client is also asking a judge to waive that requirement. Because of that, we're not going to use his name either.
So I want to be safe, perceived as who I am, something that a lot of people don't think about, but it's something that when you're different, you think about a lot.
A new report from the National Center for Transgender Equality found that 30% of respondents ran into problems when they showed an ID that didn't match their appearance. Problems like verbal harassment, problems like being asked to leave a place, problems like being physically attacked.
Especially if we're going into an environment where we're getting more conservative in our country and having a backlash against people who are different. It's nice to have everything kind of match up.
Under the Obama administration, the criteria for changing gender on a federal ID was redefined. Before 2010, only people who had gotten surgery could change their gender legally. But the policies changed to include anyone receiving transition-related care, as long as they could provide a letter from a doctor. Many are concerned that option will just go away, and that's why legal help is popping up across the country. This session is one of three organized by Attorney Milo Primo, who works at the Empire Justice Center, a New York State advocacy organization.
The policies we're talking about here are just that, they're policies, they're administrative policies. So the new heads of the Social Security Administration, the Department of State, could easily get rid of those policies.
Primo usually advises about 15 people a month for name and gender marker changes. But since the election, about 50 people have signed up for these legal clinics in Rochester alone.
You think, okay, does somebody really need a gender marker change with Social Security? What difference does that make? It makes a difference with your ability to access certain benefits and spousal benefits and retirement benefits. It can impact your ability to access Medicaid and Medicare that won't discriminate against you based on your gender marker on your records.
Arlie Christian, a policy advisor with the National Center for Transgender Equality, says she hasn't heard anything about potential changes yet.
We work very closely with many folks in the federal agencies that house these policies. We haven't had any indication that there are thoughts of changing the federal gender marker change policies.
But for now, the uncertainty is enough to make people organize.
And just in case you forgot anything with the application. Mm-hmm.
Attorney Ann Williams has her notary stamp ready in hand. Her client is now sitting next to her, and they're going over a printout of the application.
Legal name, correct?
Legal name.
Yep.
After his application gets approved by a judge, he'll have to go to each agency, state and federal, to update IDs one by one.
Super exciting. It is.
He's hoping to do that as soon as possible. Karen Chakurji, Side Effects Public Media.